If you have your Bibles, let's open them just to one verse, and we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you will, in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And if you have a cell phone, if you'd be so kind to others, just put it on vibrate or on off or whatever you need to do so it's quiet during the service. We'd appreciate it. And I got to thinking, you know, it's the first time we've ever had a co-worker appreciation Sunday. And I thought if no co-workers show up, what am I preaching on? And then if we have co-workers show up, what am I preaching on? So this is what I'm preaching on. All right. So 1 Corinthians 15, and looking down into one verse. Well, let's just look at the first verse here. And it's written by the Apostle Paul. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received." Notice he preached it, and these people in this town received it. You can hear all the preaching in the world. If you don't receive the truth, it does you no good. Amen. He says, "By which also ye are saved." And then he says, down in verse 3, here's what the gospel is. "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." The only man to ever do that with his own power. Over 500 eyewitnesses. People come around the world to different graves to bring flowers to remember their religious leaders. And they're still in the grave. People from around the world come to visit an empty tomb in Jerusalem because their religious leader is not there. Because the tomb is empty. And then it says in verse 5, "And he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. He was seen of 500 brethren." So it talks about all the people that saw Jesus once he rose from the dead. Verse 9, Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all." This is found one time in the entire Bible, this statement. And God writes it in the Bible. Paul says, "I worked harder than all of them." Now, maybe you've said that before. Maybe someone you work with has said that before. "I work harder than the whole company." Well, Paul said it. God said, "Let's write that down." It's true. The guy worked. He was a hard worker. Because of the Apostle Paul accepting the Lord and traveling all the travels he did, going through all the stuff he went through, he got the gospel to Europe. Europe brought the good news of Jesus to America. The East Coast brought the good news of Jesus to the West Coast. Right now, Hopewell Baptist is trying to get the good news to everybody on the West Coast and around the world. And so that's what Paul says. "I labored more than they all." I want to speak on this subject for a few moments. The working God. The working God. Got a couple little visual aids and we'll be out right on time. I hope you'll just kind of hang with it. Maybe about a 5-minute introduction. And then we'll get on the working God. And I know this is something for us today. Father, would you bless this brief time we have? Speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Work. Just that word to some people causes tears. Causes anxiety. It causes a negative thought. Some people actually put it up there with all the other dirty four-letter words. Work. You say, is it four? Let me say, W. Let me see, U. Let me see, oh. Anyway, work, W-O-R-K. It's a bad word to many. To God, it's a good word. Amen. It's what he does. It's much of who he is. Help us out over there. Where's our ushers? Help us. We don't need to be walking around. Help us now. Okay, thanks so much. God is pretty busy. He works pretty hard. So if you've ever complained to God and said, you don't know how hard I've been working. Hey, look, this morning he put the sun up. Tonight he'll bring the stars out and the moon up. Today he will spin our planet at just the right speed so we have day and night. And then the tilted and just the right seasons. He's the one that will make gravity work today. And concerning us, he counts the hairs of our head. I saw a bumper sticker, and on your wig too. So that means our Heavenly Father loves us so much, when you wash your hair and there's some hair in the sink or they come out in your comb, he says, I know exactly how many came out. If he cares about the hairs on your head, he cares about supper on your table, he cares if you have a job, he cares if you're battling cancer, he cares about you. The Bible says a sparrow does not fall to the ground. That means die and land on the ground without his notice. If he's noticing every sparrow, every hair, he says he takes our tears, every tear, puts them in a bottle. Somehow he's storing or counting every grief we have, every time we pillow our head at night and we're weeping or crying about something. That's the God who's constantly working. The Bible says right now, he said, I'll be in heaven preparing a place for you. Know what he's doing now? He's building. We have a few building projects going around down Linda Vista Street. It's called the Trio, these million-dollar homes. I think that's a starter home now in Napa, but these million-dollar homes. And it's busy. Excavation, roofs going on, brickwork, cement. Jesus is building mansions right now for every person that receives Christ as Savior. He's busy. He's praying for us. One day he's coming back. He's a very busy God. The Bible says he created the entire earth and everything on it in 6 days. He spoke and light happened. He spoke and the earth was formed. He spoke and the vegetation grew. He spoke, the animals were made. He took the dust of the world and formed a man. He took the rib out of his side and formed Eve. And best creation he ever made was Eve. No lady smiling. Okay, forget it. And she's been a pain in his side ever since. Oh, okay. No, all right. Hey, look, if you don't smile, ladies, we'll give it the other way. And so our God is a working God. He is working. He wants us to work. He formed Adam, put him in a garden and said, get with it. Till the ground. He made Noah. He said, build an ark. He made a Solomon, said, build a temple. Moses, shepherd those sheep. Ezra, build a temple. Nehemiah, rebuild the wall. David, be a shepherd. Jacob, he was a cattle farmer. Paul was a tent maker. Joseph, an administrator. Matthew, a tax collector. Boo. The disciples of Jesus were fishermen. Luke was a doctor. Nicodemus, a politician. Dorcas, she was a seamstress. Just want to give several introductory remarks here. Number one, God blesses work. God blesses work. Job 1:10, God was talking about Job. He says, thou hast blessed the work of his hands. God blesses honest, hard work. Number two, all work is profitable. The Bible says in all labor, there's profit. Proverbs 14:23, profit for you and profit for others. It helps sustain. It helps you health-wise. It helps your attitude. It keeps you out of trouble. Work is good. Number three, work ethic begins as a child. The Bible says even a child is known by his doing, whether his work be true and whether it be right. Parents, teach your kids how to work. Get them picking up the toys. Get them cleaning up their room. Give them some jobs. You're not being mean. You're training them to one day keep a good job. Number four, work turns a boy into a man. Single ladies, let me encourage you. You don't want to marry a playboy. You want to marry a workman. You want to marry a guy that brings home a paycheck, doesn't just shoot pool and get drunk with his buddies after work. You want a guy that understands what work is all about. Number next, our nation is too idle. Too idle. When people are hiring, now hiring. You see that sign everywhere. Everyone's just trying to find someone who show up, pass a drug test, and work. Amen. It's just a rare thing. Whether it's work in the fields, in an office, a refinery, a factory, running machinery, a plant, raising kids, a hospital, medical field, whether you're a teacher, an educator, a construction worker, whether you're cleaning house, landscaping, heavy equipment operator, Leontini. I knew he was going to egg me on until I said what he did. A lawyer, real estate, sales, computer, secretarial, administration, government, state job, bookkeeping, scientist, military, or maybe you're enjoying the fruit of your labor. You worked hard. You're retired now. A social worker, hair, cosmetics, counselor, administrator, ministry, whatever you do, it's honorable. Hold your head up high. No matter what job you do, there's no job better than yours if you do it to the glory of God. Amen. Number next, God works. Number two, when we work, we're like God. Number three, God blesses work. Number four, balance work and rest. You can't be a workaholic, and then you can't be a play person either. Vince Lombardi, the famous coach for the Green Bay Packers. All right, fellas, okay, work to look up here. And Green Bay Packers, his daddy, Vince Lombardi's daddy, just old rough guy, had tattoos on his knuckles. Work, play. Work, play. You got to balance it. All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. All play and no work makes Jack a broke boy. You have to have the balance. Someone gave me a workaholic's birthday card years ago. Had a guy fishing. I love to fish. And so it was this card, and it had this fisherman on it, and it had this bumper sticker on the boat. And it said, I'd rather be working. I'd rather be working. Now look, when you're fishing, fish. When you work, work. Enjoy what you do. Enjoy your play. You've earned it. But you want to have a balance. You want to balance work and rest. You want to balance work and sleep. You just want to have that balance. You can't be the mom or dad. My parents were never home. All they did was work. But it can't be. They're always home and they never work. It's got to be a balance there. I'm not talking about someone that's a health issue and this and that. You're recovering or you're disabled. That's not what we're talking about, or retired. We're talking about if you can work. There was a pastor of the largest church in Fort Worth, Texas. He pastored another church in Detroit, Michigan. He was preaching to some young preacher boys. He said, tomorrow morning, I'll give you the secret of building the biggest church in the world. Meet me in this auditorium at 5 in the morning. The next morning, all these young preachers were there, 5 in the morning, their Bible, their notebook, their pen. Norris walked to the pulpit. He said, I told you, I'd tell you the secret. He looked around as if to keep it a secret. He said, get ready. Write it down. You ready? Work! Amen. And then he left. I don't think they were real encouraged by that. Russell Anderson, the millionaire that came here, a friend of ours, he said, you make a living 7 to 3. You make a success from 3 to 7. You put in the minimum hours and it'll be minimum. We ought to be the hardest working people in this city. Amen. People in this room that have a job, show up early. Stay a little bit late. Do extra. Right. Don't have to be motivated. Don't just work when the boss is looking. I'm not going to say a whole lot about that. Work and then rest. Work earns your rest. Enjoy your work. Work heartily as to the Lord. You say, Pastor, how do you enjoy a job you don't like? You do it as if Jesus is your boss. Man, I'm shining these floors for Jesus. I'm wiping this counter for Jesus. I'm pouring this Starbucks for Jesus. I'm flipping these hamburgers for Jesus. I'm changing these diapers for Jesus. I'm doing input for Jesus. And it'll make it a lot more fun.
Amen.
So here's the message. We've got about 15 minutes. You said, Pastor, you're going to talk about God, God the worker, the working God. One, we have God's finished work. God's finished work. Jesus came to the earth and he was 12 years of age. He ended up in the temple. Mary and Joseph lost him. And he said, know ye not that I must be about my Father's business? He was 12. What was he saying? He was saying, hey, I didn't come here to earth to play. I got a job to do. What was Jesus' job? Why did he come? Here it is. When Adam and Eve sinned, there was a great gulf put between God and man. The gulf was filled with sin. A holy God cannot hang around or fellowship with sinful people. What could God do? He's holy. He could judge. He could cast the human race into hell. But God is also love and merciful and graceful. He said, I'll pay the debt. And he became a man in the form of Jesus Christ, came to the earth, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life. One day came to the cross, was crucified, and when he was crucified, the sin of the world was put upon Jesus Christ. Yours, mine, past, present, future. It was all put upon him. The hell that we would deserve for all eternity, Christ suffered. That's why he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's why he had thirst on the cross. There's thirst in hell. That's why the world became dark, because there's darkness in hell. He suffered our hell that day. But then he said, it is finished.
Amen.
What was finished? The payment. He paid our debt. He atoned our sins. He covered our sins. God was satisfied with the payment. The debt is paid. Mankind does not have to go to hell. It was paid for by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's finished. That means this. You don't have to add to it. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5, the Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. What's it mean? His finished work means we do not have to work to earn heaven.
Amen.
You ask people, you going to heaven? Yeah, I'm a good person. I'm baptized. I go to that's works. Well, sure, if you do enough good things, you go to heaven. Wrong. Because there's a payment for sin. If your sin's not paid and applied to you, you have to pay for it. You could be the Pope. You could be a priest. You could be a pastor. You could be a missionary. You could be the greatest person in the city. That won't get you to heaven. Our debt is only paid by Christ. It's God's finished work. And it's an insult to God to make him or to tell him we have to add to it. This wasn't enough. And when he rose from the dead, it was like, ta-da, I told you, it's paid for. It's the finished work of Christ. The finished work. Then I want to talk about this for just a moment. Oh, by the way, we were at the married couple's getaway. First time it's ever happened. First time. So Friday night, Saturday morning, with all these married couples, went to Sacramento. We flew in a guest speaker, a Christian married couple seminar. And Saturday morning, the speaker got up. There was a married couple we thought were probably not Christians. And there was a man that came for his first time. We figured, you know, maybe they're not Christians. Brother Kavanaugh stood up and he said, I just sense there's someone at this seminar who's never been born again. You've never received Christ. He said, I don't know you. I don't know who you are. But let me tell you how to get saved. It's so simple. He explained how to receive Christ. He said, would you bow your head? He said, where are you? He said, where are you? I've never received Christ. I'm not born again. He said, would you? No one's looking. Just slip your hand up. He said, I see that hand. One of the ladies lifted her hand. He said, please put it back down. He said, if you'd like to receive Jesus right now, Just pray this prayer and invite him in your heart. And you could just sense God work. God was working in that room. People were praying. Then at the end he said, I think this is how it happened. I mean, I was there. But it was something like, well, who just got born again? Didn't she raise her hand? That was Jennifer Farmer's mother. She'd been trying to get her to church. Wouldn't come to church. They live a long way off. She came to the seminar. She got saved in front of all of us. That whole section started weeping. People were wiping tears. It's like, man, we came to a marriage seminar and someone got saved. Why? That's God working. That's what he does. That's why he came. The Bible says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jennifer was crying. Billy was crying. Billy was crying because his mother-in-law got saved. Now I got to go to heaven with my mother-in-law. I'm not trying to judge him, but anyway. So there's God's finished work. Number two, we have to hasten. There's God's unfinished work. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? By unfinished work, it's this. The Bible says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That word means poem. Like a poem, someone's trying to get to rhyme. I think of it as an artist who's painting a picture. So the moment we receive Christ as our Savior, God puts us on the easel. And he says, for ye are my workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. I've got a work I want to do on that canvas. It says, he that hath begun a good work in us will perform it. So God's saying the moment we receive Christ, he's not done with us. He loves us the way we are, but refuses to leave us that way. God is in the remodeling business. He buys an old rundown house and says, I got a dream for this house. It looks like a dump, but I see something in it. And God saw something in you, and God saw something in me. That's beautiful. And so he puts us on here and he says, oh, we're the unfinished work. You say, well, Pastor, how's he work on us? The Bible. The more you're in the Bible, the more he's working on you. See, God's got a goal in mind. Here's what God's wanting to do. God's wanting to do something like this. He's saying, man, I got something beautiful coming. Amen. But you got to stay on the easel. Amen. You got to stay there a while. This doesn't happen overnight. Well, God, fix my marriage. It won't happen in one marriage seminar in 4 hours. God, I'm in debt $500,000. It won't happen in one church service. God, I've neglected my kids. God, I'm an addict. What I do? It may not happen that fast, but he's working. Amen. It's an unfinished work. Now, let me encourage you. Stay on the easel. Amen. Stay on the easel. You start going through trials. I'm never coming back. Wonder how many people got mad at God. He did something you didn't agree with. I'm not coming back. I tithe, and now I'm still in debt. We want quick fixes for long problems. Stay on the easel. He's working on you. I love the old song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a day to make the moon and stars, da-da-da-da-da-da, and Jupiter and Mars. How wonderful and special I must be. He's still working on me. You say, well, what's God doing in my life, Pastor? Working on you.
Amen.
To do what? Well, one, to get you saved. If you're not a child of God, if you're not born again, like Billy's mother-in-law, I'm sorry, Billy, who's now going to heaven. If you're not saved yet, everything he's doing, he's working on you. Every illness, every sign, everything here. A little gospel tract someone leaves. The next door neighbor invites you to church. I mean, he's after you. The emptiness in your heart cries out. You need God. He's working on you. He wants to fill that emptiness. He's working to get you saved. Second, he's working on you to make you more like him. I've got a ways to go, do you? Years ago, my brother was going through the hippie stage. He's still got white hair down to here now. He looks like Albert Einstein. He was going through the hippie stage when the long hair was real popular. He had blue jean shorts. He split them up here and tied them with leather and had sandals, long brown hair to here, brown beard. And I'm not criticizing. I'm just telling you the story. But he looked like the pictures of Jesus. I'm in the store with my brother. He's about 18. I'm 15. He's walking through the store and the little kid said, "Mama, there's Jesus." I corrected the little kid. I said, "No, there's the devil." Wonder when the last time someone that knows us pretty good says, "You remind me of Jesus." You kind of remind me of Jesus. Jesus was on earth 33 years, never traveled more than 60 miles. Only a small portion of population ever saw him or met him. We're the only chance this world has to see what Jesus is really like. Third, what's he trying to do? He's trying to use your life to get other people saved. Philippians 1:11. It's my wife's life's verse. All these things have fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel. When she was in the hospital 80 days, we agreed we would not be bitter at God. We would just assume he was going to use this to get people saved. The man who is sick, Sikh is how I pronounce it, but they pronounce it sick, from India, texted me yesterday. He's not saved yet. He's got my wife's book. He's reading it. God's working on him. What's God trying to do? He's got his finished work. We must hasten. He's got his unfinished work. And then last, we've got our work. There's a work for all to do. We'll work till Jesus comes, the song says. We're to work for him. Jesus, our example, he said, "Work, for the night cometh when no man can work." I love the song, "Every work for Jesus will be blessed." You say, "Pastor, how do you work for God?" You do something for others and for him.
Amen.
What do you mean? Play a musical instrument in church. Sing in the choir. Go soul winning. Pass out gospel tracts. Teach a Sunday school class. Help in the nursery. Give to start a church in a foreign country. Building maintenance, bus maintenance, visit the elderly. Pray. If you're elderly and you can't do any of those things, you can still get a list of names, get alone with God and pray and call their name out to God and beg God to help those people. You can make phone calls. You can cook a meal. You can visit a sick person. You can deliver flowers. You can comfort the grieving. You can attend a funeral. You can help the addicted. You can drive a bus. You can be a mechanic. You can pass out traffic. There's tons of ways to serve the Lord. Let me ask you a question. What do you do for God? Years ago, we were at this married couples getaway. Brother Cavanaugh, he'll be speaking at the men's conference. He is a very personal, piercing conversationalist. You go out to a meal with him, it's kind of like this. "How you doing?" "Yeah, I'm doing fine." "Now, what's this mean?" "How's your Bible reading?" "Well, that's okay." "What's that mean?" "Are you getting something out of your Bible every day?" "Well, not all the time." "How come?" I mean, man, it just gets deep. No one wants to take him out to eat anymore. So there was a couple that was at the getaway, and they went out to eat with him. Well, Brother Cavanaugh. First thing he said, hey, man, how you doing? Hadn't seen you. Man, good. Good to see you back. He says, what are you doing in the church right now? He's a businessman in our church. He said, what are you now doing in the church for God right now? I think he said, well, I think one time they didn't have an usher, and I think a pastor played or something. I mean, he was squirming. What had happened? He had kind of backed out of a lot of things he was doing. You know, it ought to be, if you or I die, they need 15 people to replace us. Well, Pastor, I come and I sit. Try that at work tomorrow. Hey, can you type? No, I just sit. Well, what do you do for our company? I'm just here. You know, your company tomorrow kind of expects you to do something. And the Lord said, that's why I left you. Get busy. Do something. I didn't just become a pastor when I moved here. I was doing something for the Lord before I came here. When I was seventh grade, I was passing out gospel tracts. When I was 10th grade, I was preaching in juvenile halls. I was a bus driver, Louisiana, 15. Church bus driver. I was a bus worker. 17, I was a bus captain. I was trying to do something. Sang in the choir. Cleaned the building. Worked on the building. I did what I could. The Bible says this in Revelation 14, 13. It says, and their works do follow them. Here's what that means. Anything you do for the Lord, it's going to follow you to heaven. It's going to be brought up on judgment day. You will be rewarded. Well, no one saw me do this. God did. I think of a man years ago named Andy Lugo. He's in heaven now, passed away of COVID. And that hallway used to print the church gospel tracts. A new man got saved named Alberto Garcia. Andy said, I got other things to do. Let me teach you how to print the tracts. Brother Berto printed one of the tracts that ended up in a bush that got his wife to church. They got married. She married a guy because he printed a tract. Yeah. Thanks, Andy. Or Berto would still be single. I don't know if that's true, but he's going to be rewarded for printing those tracts. Miss Johnston is bedridden now. She'll be up soon. She's battling cancer, battling some other things, surgeries. Listening right now. The first book I wrote when I got here was Soul Winning, The Heart of God. We finished the last typing. It was in the ancient days at her house. Her and her grown daughter, Karen, were there. I spent the night at their house. That sounds bad. I spent the night at another woman's house. We got that thing finished, that book, about 5 a.m., sent it to the press. That book has been around the world. Up in heaven, it's going to be, Miss Johnston, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You got that book printed. We did the one-step booklet. Some of you worked through those, 43 of them. They're in Spanish now. They're in Hungarian now. They're in Arabic now. They're in a lot of languages. That was done here. I got a text. I'll be speaking in the Philippines this week. Pray for me. Pray for them. And I met this missionary. He said, I'm single, Pastor. Pray for me. I want to get married. I'm lonely. He sends me a picture 6 months later. This sweet lady holding up one of those one steps. And he said, meet my fiance, Pastor. Your booklet influenced her when she was a teenager. Now I'm marrying her. And they're missionaries now in Cebu City in the Philippines. Thanks, Miss Johnston, for typing the booklets. Thanks, Miss Johnston, for the ministry. Thank you. You influenced someone in the Philippines. Thank you. Whatever you've done for the Lord, your works will follow you. God's keeping score. He's going to bless you. He will reward you. I think we're about out of time. So what's he doing in your life right now? Is he? Maybe you're saying, no dark colors. I only want a bright life and a happy life. Sometimes you got to have the dark colors or it's not going to turn out right. And I want to encourage you, if in recent days, all God's been doing is putting a lot of dark colors in your life, hang on, there'll be some light colors pretty soon.
Amen.
Is this you? Or have you gotten off? Tired. I ain't going to wait anymore. I don't like what God's doing in my life. I quit. Well, he's never going to finish the paint. You're going to be a half-painted person. And then one day when the rapture takes place, now hopefully you women don't look like this, but look what you got to look forward to. Up in heaven, I'll be an old gray-haired man. One day he'll say, time to come home. We're going to finish the painting up there. You get a brand new body, you'll be finished. You know, I don't know if you got all the texts this week. There was a lot of news on the radio waves, the Christian community, because today is supposed to be the Feast of Trumpets, a special feast in Jerusalem. Many of the Bible scholars were saying Jesus is coming back today. The Bible says no man will know the hour. If it's today, where are you? Unfinished? Off the easel? Do you need to get back on? Where are you today? If you've never received Christ, it's finished. You don't have to do anything. Receive him as a gift by faith, and he'll save you. God's working. I hope on the way home, as questions come through your mind, well, what is God doing in my life? I hope you hear these words. He's working. He's working. Sometimes behind the scenes, sometimes visibly, you're his. He never stops working on you till you get up there. Our Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon this time.